loving Father and eternal God, we bless thee for the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And oh, we pray that tonight through the Word, and oh Lord, with the help of thy blessed Spirit, our eyes will be fixed upon him. Lord, it is our prayer once again that we would see Jesus. Grant us now the power of the Holy Ghost that we might be enabled to preach Christ and to declare the whole counsel of God to the honor, praise, and glory of our blessed Redeemer. In his name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 9 and verse 28. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he that is the Lord Jesus took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. The evangelist Luke in his gospel pays special attention to the prayer life of the Lord Jesus, because Luke tells us more about the prayer life of Christ than any of the other three Gospels. He tells us, first of all, in chapter 3 and verse 21, that the Lord Jesus prayed at his baptism. And now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. The next time in Luke's Gospel that we read about the Lord Jesus in prayer is the night following when the Pharisees and the scribes showed signs of hostility towards him. Luke chapter 6. There we read in verse 11, they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. And it came to pass in those days that they went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And of course, as we look at the prayer life of the Lord Jesus, we may glean many lessons from the praying of Christ. We find in Luke's Gospel that the Lord Jesus prayed. Many of the monumental events in our Savior's life, we've already noted, he prayed at his baptism. And now when the scribes and the Pharisees became very hostile, once again the Lord Jesus went to prayer. Dear child of God, when we live in this hostile world and the worldling becomes hostile towards the Church of Jesus Christ and towards God's people, that is when we need to pray and give special attention to prayer. But there is something else here. We have noticed what took place prior to this prayer meeting, but look at what happened after this prayer meeting. For again in Luke 6, this time verse 13, we are told, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. And so before the Lord Jesus appointed the 12 apostles, he spent the night previous in prayer. Before you and I make major decisions in our life, we need to give attention to prayer, as the Lord Jesus did. Then the next prayer meeting involving the Lord Jesus, we read about it in Luke chapter 9, Luke 9 and verse 18. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, "Whom say the people that I am?" Note again, when this prayer meeting took place, it took place following the feeding of the 5,000. After the Lord Jesus had wrought this mighty miracle, the Lord withdrew himself from the multitudes. The carnal man would have done the very opposite. The carnal man would have basked in the glory of this great miracle. But the Lord Jesus did the very reverse. He went away with his disciples and away from the multitudes and away from the crowds. Spent time in prayer alone with his disciples. Note what took place at that prayer meeting. The Lord Jesus challenged the disciples with these words, "Whom say the people that I am?" They answering said, "John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets has risen again." Then we read, "And he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am?" Peter answering said, "The Christ of God." Where did this take place? At a prayer meeting. And it was at the prayer meeting, it was when the disciples were with the Lord, that they were brought into a deeper knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Whom say ye that I am?" Peter answering said, "The Christ of God." And I tell you, dear child of God, if we want to know the Lord Jesus in a more intimate way, that knowledge will be given to us and will be gained at the prayer meeting. It's at the prayer meeting where we gain a deeper knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we read in Luke 11 of another prayer meeting, and there we find the Lord Jesus alone in prayer. Luke 11 verse 1, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." The Lord Jesus was interrupted by his disciples asking him, "Lord, teach us to pray." It is good when God's people want to know more about prayer. And to know more about prayer, we must go to Christ. Christ is the one who can teach us all there is to know about prayer. And we note that it was out of that prayer meeting and following that request that we were given what the world knows now as the Lord's Prayer. And it came out of that prayer meeting. We move on to another prayer meeting that Luke draws our attention to. Prayer meeting took place in the Garden of Gethsemane. Once again, we have Luke drawing our attention to the Lord Jesus and his praying in Gethsemane's garden. For we read in verse 39 of Luke 22, "And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. When he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeling down, prayed. And oh, dear child of God, we know how he prayed. We know how the Lord Jesus agonized in prayer. And how as he prayed, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Verse 44. Once more, let us learn from the Lord Jesus. Let us learn from Christ what it is to agonize in prayer. Such was his agony in prayer that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. When he arose from prayer, the next verse tells us, and came to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. But then Luke takes us from the Garden of Gethsemane, and he takes us then to the hill called Calvary. And Luke is the one who records for us the prayer of the Lord Jesus that came from his lips as he hung there upon that cruel tree suspended between heaven and earth. For Luke 23, verse 34, we read, Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Lord Jesus praying for his enemies, praying for those that had cried out, crucify him, praying for those who had nailed him to the tree. Surely the Lord was as much to teach us about prayer and how we ought to pray for our enemies. But there's one other instance a prayer in the life of Christ that Luke records. It is found in the passage of Scripture we read tonight, Luke chapter 9. While Matthew, Mark, and Luke record for us the events of the Mount of Transfiguration, Luke is the only one to tell us that when they went to the mount, to that particular mount, the Lord Jesus prayed. Verse 29. And as he prayed. Now Lucas, as we've already said, is the only one of the evangelists to record this detail. And it is fitting that Luke should record this detail. We have already considered 6 prayer meetings. This is the 7th. 7 times, 7 occasions, according to the Gospel of Luke and Luke's record. We have a record of 7 prayer meetings involving the Lord Jesus. 7, the number of complaints. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and in Christ you have the complete prayer life. Oh, we look at our own prayer lives and we know that much is lacking. We know that when we consider our own prayer lives, there's much to be attended to. But when we look at the prayer life of Christ, it is perfect and complete. His was the perfect prayer life. Nothing lacking, nothing needed to be added to it. And here it was while he prayed. While he prayed, as it was at his baptism, it was while he prayed the heavens opened and the Spirit of God descended in the form of a dove and the Father spoke. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And here it is, we find again that as while he was praying, the fashion of his countenance was altered, or changed. Let us consider then this great event on the Mount of Transfiguration. Let us consider the Lord, Peter and James and John, they gathered in that Mount that day for prayer. Let us consider, first of all, going with Christ to the place of prayer. Going with Christ to the place of prayer. We are told in verse 28 that three of the Lord's disciples were with him at this particular prayer meeting. We notice, first of all, with regard to their going to the place of prayer, they were brought to the prayer meeting. Look at what Luke has written. Verse 28, and it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James. He took them. I'd like you to consider what Matthew has written. Matthew 17, verse 1, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up. He took them. He brought them to the prayer meeting. Now consider what Mark has recorded. Mark chapter 9, verse 2, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John and leadeth them up. Matthew tells us he brought them up. Mark tells us he led them up. And Luke tells us he took them up. Notice where the emphasis is placed. It is placed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps Peter, James, and John would not have been in that mountain for prayer except the Lord brought them. Because I tell you, the carnal man, the fleshly man, does not want to attend the prayer meeting. Therefore, we all need the Lord to bring us. We need the Lord to take us. We need the Lord to lead us. As we have considered the prayer life of Christ tonight in our introduction, let us then follow the leading of the Lord, the leadership of Christ. Follow Him to the prayer meeting. Consider the laborers. He brought with him Peter, James, and John. These, of course, were three of the Lord's choice disciples. They were members of that, if we might call it, the inner circle of disciples. You and I know that they had been with the Lord on other occasions where the other disciples were at. The Lord brought Peter, James, and John into the house of Jairus. They witnessed the raising of Jairus' daughter up from the dead. They were brought by the Lord Jesus into the Garden of Gethsemane while the others were left. On the edge of the garden, the Lord brought Peter, James, and John with him and went a little farther. Now we find the Lord has brought Peter, James, and John up into this mountain to pray. They are His choice disciples. And oh, what privileges these choice disciples had experienced. And here is one of them, being in the prayer meeting with Christ. But lo and behold, dear child of God, every one of us can enjoy this privilege. Because the Lord has invited all of us to come. The Lord will bring all of us. The Lord will lead all of us to the place of prayer. We are His choice disciples. We are His chosen people. That's where He wants us to be. The place of prayer with Himself. Now Peter, James, and John, as we have said, were His choice disciples, His laborers. And the Lord knew that it was necessary for His laborers to be with Him in the place of prayer. Dear child of God, if we want to be laborers in the Lord's vineyard, if we want to go out into the harvest fields where the laborers are few, we must spend time with the Lord Jesus in the place of prayer. We need the Lord to lead us and bring us there, and draw us there, and take us there. For the old nature will naturally resist the prayer meeting. You have the laborers, and then you have the location. For we read that He took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain. Went up into a mountain. There's the location. Or as Matthew and Mark recorded, they went up into a high mountain. And so the emphasis is here placed upon this mountain and the height of the mountain. No, dear child of God, how is it that when we consider the prayer meeting and think about going to the prayer meeting, it's like climbing a high mountain. We would not find climbing a high mountain any more difficult. Going to the prayer meeting. There are many of God's people in the Church of Jesus Christ today. They never climb that mountain. It's too high for them. They never set out to climb the mountain. Because prayer meeting, protracted times and seasons of prayer would be to us like climbing a high mountain. We need the Lord to bring us. We need the Lord to take us, take hold of us, and lead us up the mountain. See how dependent we are on Him. You've the laborers and the location and the Lord. He took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. There is a wonderful verse in Matthew 18. We've often quoted in our prayer meetings, and the words of that verse contain the words of the Lord Jesus. And how often have those words been an encouragement, a source of encouragement and comfort to us? Where the Lord Jesus said, where the two and three are met together in My name, there am I in the midst. Two or three. Sometimes when our prayer meetings are small and there are but two or three, we may become discouraged. But we have thought about Matthew 18 and 20, and we remember the words of the Savior, where two or three are met together, there am I in the midst. And here He is in the midst of three disciples. He's in the midst of but three disciples. What does this teach us? It teaches us that the Lord never looks with disdain upon a small number at a prayer meeting. He doesn't say, oh, I will not be at that prayer meeting because there are only two or three. I cannot attend a prayer meeting except there be a few hundred. No. The Lord is pleased to present Himself with the two or three. And in that prayer meeting on that mountain that day, there were no more than three disciples. But bless the Lord, Christ was in the midst of them. And how often have we said it? That's all that matters, is that Christ is there. It would be a miserable experience, a soul-destroying experience. You were at a prayer meeting and 500 people were there, but the Lord was not there. Give me two or three where the Lord is. Give me a prayer meeting like that. So we have considered how the disciples were brought to the place of prayer. Next, consider the benefits of the place of prayer. Once more, look at verse 28. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. The prayer meeting, of course, was for the benefit of the disciples. This is certainly emphasized by Matthew. Turn to Matthew 17. Matthew 17, verse 1. Note the repetition of the word them, with reference to the disciples. Verse 1, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. Verse 2, and was transfigured before them. It's for their benefit. Verse 3, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias. Verse 5, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Verse 7, and Jesus came and touched them. It was for their benefit. Dear child of God, the prayer meeting is for our benefit. It's for our own good. It was why the Lord brought Peter, James, and John up the mountain that day. It was for them. It was for their benefit. He wanted to reveal His glory to them. Oh, what glories those disciples would have missed. They had not gone up that mountain to that prayer meeting. What glories they would have missed. What benefits they would have missed. When we miss out in the place of prayer, we miss out on many great spiritual benefits. Consider the blessings of the place. Blessings, of course, are many. Let us highlight just one of them. When Moses was called up the Mount Sinai, called up Mount Sinai by the Lord stipulated that Moses must come alone. We read in Exodus 24, so when Moses went up the mount to meet with God the first time, he must go alone. Exodus 34, he goes the second time with the tables of stone in his hand to receive the Ten Commandments the second time. And we read in verse 2, Exodus 34, and be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount, and no man shall come up with thee. Neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount. Neither let the flocks nor herds feed before that mount. Moses, you must come alone. No one else is permitted to come up that mount. No one else is permitted to commune with me in that mount. Dear child of God, we rejoice that no such restrictions are placed upon the prayer meeting as far as we are. No, the Lord invites us all to come. He invites every one of us to ascend the mount of prayer. He invites every one of us to get to higher ground with Him. We are all invited. He's ready to bring us all. That each one of us might behold His glory. What a blessing. We would count it a great privilege to be in the presence of some president or other. My, we would be talking about it for days. And here we are, day and daily, invited by the Lord up the mount and to commune with Him. What a blessing. What a privilege. So we have considered going with Christ to the place of prayer. Let us now consider the glory of Christ in the place of prayer. The fact that the Lord was transfigured that day would teach us. It would teach us that we never know what the Lord is going to do for us at a prayer meeting. You just never know what the Lord will do at a prayer meeting. I am sure that James and Peter and John had no idea of what would take place on that mount that day when the Lord said, come with me, we're going to a prayer meeting. They had no idea what was in store for them. Dear child of God, when we set out on a Wednesday night to go to the church prayer meeting, we just do not know what's in store. We don't know what the Lord has for us. We don't know what the Lord will do for the prayer meeting. I want you to notice His activity. Let's look again at that little detail that Luke alone gives us. Verse 29. And as He prayed. Now remember this. We have already been told that the Lord took His three disciples up into a mountain. Verse 28, what for? To pray. Just as He took His three disciples into the Garden of Gethsemane, what for? To pray. And yet I find that both in the garden and in the mountain there was only one person who prayed. Three disciples and the Lord went up the mountain to pray, and there's no mention of the three disciples praying. The three disciples went with the Lord into Gethsemane, and there's no mention of the three disciples praying. For when he came to the three disciples, they were fast asleep. Christ alone prayed in the garden. Christ alone prayed on the mountain as he prayed. The voices of the three disciples were silent, both on the mountain and in the garden. One who was still praying. What does this teach us? It teaches us that when we, like the three disciples, fail in prayer, when we perhaps neglect our duty to seek the face of God in prayer, when we fall short in the business of prayer, we know this, there is always one who is praying. That's our great high priest. Because he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And when we fail in prayer, Jesus Christ never fails in prayer. When our lips are still, and our voice is silent, Christ prays on. He's praying at the Father's right hand even now. What a wonderful high priest we have. Not only do we see here his activity, we have also his appearance. Once more, verse 29, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. The fashion of his countenance was altered. I'd like you to go to Matthew 17. Matthew adds a detail that Mark and Luke leave out. We're told in verse 2 of Matthew 17 that the Lord Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face or his countenance did shine as the sun. Now when we considered Moses going up the mount, spending 40 days with God, Mount Sinai, when he descended, the mount, he wist not that his face shone. Now the shining face of Moses was as the result of Moses beholding something of the glory of God. The face of Moses was reflecting the glory of God. Just as the moon reflects the light of the sun. It's not the source of the light. The sun is the source. And the shining of the face of Moses. Moses did not possess the source. The source was in God. Jesus Christ, we are told his face shone as the sun. Christ, we see the source, God's glory in Jesus Christ. Moses could only reflect the glory of God. But the glory of God is Jesus Christ. He is the Son. Not only S-O-N, but S-U-N. There we have his countenance. And then we note his clothing. We're told his raiment was white and glycerin. The word glycerin is not found anywhere else in Scripture. It's unique to this description of the Lord Jesus and his clothing. Now once again, let us go back to Exodus and to Moses when he came down that mount. You recall that when Moses descended the mount, his face shone. Moses wist not that his face shone. And you remember how the children of Israel were afraid to draw near to Moses and commune with Moses. So what did Moses do? Moses took a veil and put it over his face. He was able to cover. He was able to cover his shining face so that it could no longer be seen. There's quite a difference here. Where Moses was able to cover shining face, such was the glory of Jesus Christ that the glory of Christ shone through his clothing. It could not be covered. The glory of Jesus Christ in the mount could not be hidden. His glory shone through his very clothing. Here is Christ in all his glory. This is what the disciples saw that day. My, when you loved it in there with. When you loved to have been one of the three disciples to see what they saw. And yet, the Lord is ready to reveal his glory at every prayer meeting we attend. He will show us his glory. We've only to look by faith into the face of Jesus Christ. See the glory of God. It's not what the teaching is. The disciples went up the mount that day, and we're told that the Lord's countenance was altered, and they looked into the face of Jesus Christ, and they saw the glory of God in Christ. Dear believer, every time we come to the prayer meeting and we look by faith into the face of Christ, we look into the face of God. We speak with him face to face. We behold the glory of God. And we notice his associates. For we are told there in verse 30, and behold, there talked with him two men, for Moses and Elias. Moses representing the law, Elias or Elijah representing the prophet. And of course, Jesus Christ is to be seen in the law and in the prophets and in the Psalms. And here the representatives of the law and the prophets are now standing with the very Christ they spoke about in their writing. Here they are with the Lord. And I love reading what they talked about. Here's their conversation. Who appeared in glory, verse 31, and spake of his decease which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Spake of his decease. Spoke about his death. They were talking about Calvary. My, how this blesses my own soul. For here we have two glorified saints. And they're talking about his decease. They're talking about the cross. They're talking about Calvary. And that tells me that that's the topic of conversation in heaven. We'll be talking about the cross. We'll not only be talking about the cross, we'll be singing about the cross. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. The Lamb that was slain. Before the foundation of the world. Won't it be wonderful to spend all eternity talking about Calvary? Take that word decease. The word means exodus. Exodus. I'd like you to turn quickly to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. And here's Paul preaching. In Acts 13, we read in verse 23, "And of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel." John had preached before his coming. Look at the word coming. The word coming might be translated entrance. Entrance. And the Lord Jesus here is spoken of as entering this world. He came into this world. John preached of his entrance. And the saints in glory speak about his exodus. He entered this world that he might seek and save that. And when he exited this world, his exodus from this world is an indication the work was done. Hallelujah. The work's finished. And it all ties in with what they spoke about. They spake of his decease which he should accomplish. Christ died that he might accomplish something. It was, of course, our redemption and our salvation. And only when the work was accomplished did Christ exodus, did he depart this world. And look at the contrast. Verse 31, "Who appeared in glory," that is Moses and Elias, "appeared in glory." Then we read in verse 32, "But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake," why isn't it good? Isn't it good they awoke when they did? They would have missed his glory. Need the Lord to keep us awake, lest we miss. "But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory. And in the light of Christ's glory, they saw nothing more than two men." Verse 31, we are told Moses and Elias appeared in glory. But when the disciples saw Christ in his glory, the glory of Moses and Elias disappeared. When they saw the glory of Christ, all they saw standing beside him was two men. Christ's glory is greater than the glory of man. And finally, and very quickly, we have the goodness of Christ in the place of prayer. First of all, you have the testimony. Yes, it was what Peter said, speaking for the other disciples, Master, it is good for us to be here. Verse 33. Good. Many times have we been able to say that. It's good for us to be here. The prayer meeting, the Lord has come and revealed Himself. By faith we've seen His glory and we've said with Peter, it's been good for us to be here. It's good to be in a prayer meeting. Look at heaven's testimony. Verse 35, and there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear Him. The Father was saying to His disciples, look to my Son. Peter said, let's build three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. The Father was really saying, Peter, don't look to Moses. Don't look to Elias. Look to my Son and hear Him. And then you have the touch. For we are told in Matthew 17 that ere they descended the mount, verse 7, and Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. How often have we felt the need of a touch from God, a touch of the Master's hand on our life. We'll receive that touch at the prayer meeting. We need revived. Get to the place of prayer and the Lord will touch us. His reviving a touch from God. Then you have the treasure. Luke chapter 9, verse 36. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. What they witnessed that day in that mount was like finding treasure. They didn't want to show it to anyone else. That was their treasure. They'd been with Christ. They'd seen His glory. They saw no man save Jesus only, and they told no man. We can have wonderful prayer meetings. We can come out from the very presence of God and say to someone else who wasn't at the prayer meeting, a believer, and say, we had a wonderful time last night. We had a wonderful time of prayer. And they can say to us, well, that's good. But they can't enter in to what we experience. Something that belongs to us. And really, Peter, James, and John could have gone out and told the other disciples what they had seen and what they had experienced. But the other disciples would have known nothing of what Peter, James, and John experienced. They couldn't have entered into it. They weren't there. So they just kept this treasure. This very precious treasure to themselves. And then we note their track down the mountain. Verse 28. The Lord Jesus took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. Up into a mountain. It was a mountain. They knew they were climbing a mountain. What was it for them when they came down? Verse 37. And it came to pass that on the next day, note they stayed all night in prayer. Next day, when they were come down from the mountain, no. When they were come down from the hill. The mountain has been reduced to nothing more than a hill. Before we go to prayer, We think of the prayer meeting. It's like climbing a mountain. But after we have been there, that mountain's just like a hill. We're ready to go again. It's easier the next time. Why? It's only like climbing a hill. Prayer meetings are able to reduce mountains to hills. Prayer meetings are able to reduce hills to plains. Oh, may we fall in love with the prayer meeting. May we say, Lord, bring me to the place of prayer. Lord, lead me. Take. I want to be with thee. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, we bless thee for the Lord Jesus, thy Son, and how he has so much to teach us, and how, dear Lord, we are so dull of hearing, and our Lord, our faith is so weak, and our sight is so dim. We cannot see the things we ought to see. Gracious Lord, anoint our eyes with thyself. We might see. O Lord, be pleased to touch our ears that we might hear. Hear the still small voice. Hear the very whisperings of thy Spirit. And, O Lord, touch our hearts. Touch us tonight. Gracious Lord, we shall fall in love with the place of prayer. And, O Lord, as we meet on Wednesday night, show us thy glory. Let us, Lord, speak with thee face to face. Lord, answer prayer. Write the word in our hearts. Now, Lord, separate us from this meeting house in thy fear and with thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forever. Amen.